there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Jeff, we're fast approaching Christmas time.
We are.
Yeah, very exciting. Merry Christmas, listeners.
Yes,
Merry Christmas. Happy birthday, Jesus.
Happy birthday, Christmas. Happy birthday, Christmas.
It's that time of year. Gotta play all your favorite Christmas songs. Mm-hmm. That song by Bonnie Tyler from
Merry Christmas by Bonnie Tyler. The Night Santa Went Crazy by Weird Al. Gotta have that one in there.
Warm Side of the Door.
Yes.
Santa's Watching, but more importantly, Warm Side of the Door. Mm-hmm.
The Krampus soundtrack.
The Christmas Bloody Christmas soundtrack. Mm-hmm. All that great stuff.
Have you seen Fat Man, Jay?
I've not seen Fat Man.
You should watch Fat Man. It's got the GOG.
I do love the GOG. He's great in everything. As much as, you know, as much as Mel Gibson is problematic, Walton Goggins makes up for a lot.
Problematic or ahead of his time, Jay? You decide.
You decide. I've decided, but...
But you decide, audience.
Write in, audience. Tell us your favorite Walton Goggins performance.
Oh man, there's so many.
Oh, there's so many good ones.
Justified for me, but Shield's a close second.
The guy in Community.
Oh yeah. Actually great villain in the Tomb Raider movie of all things.
Here's your sperm. I know people love him in Fallout, and it's like,
oh, he's doing a Christmas special as the ghoul.
Oh shit, might have to check that out. All right. Well, anyway,
back to what we were talking about.
Yeah, let's get to the most important thing. 2015's Krampus.
Well, we're finally doing it.
Oh, we got there.
It's finally time.
Released December 4th, 2015. I'm pretty sure I saw this, if not opening day, opening weekend.
I rented it from the Redbox. That tells you how old I am, kids.
A thing that doesn't even exist anymore.
Not even one.
Shortly after I saw this in Redbox, shortly after I saw this in theaters, I went to a Redbox, and I'm pretty sure that was the first time I had ever heard of Mother Krampus or Krampus the Christmas Devil, because I was like, oh, what's in the Redbox? Mm-hmm. And I'm scrolling through horror, and I went, what the fuck is a Mother Krampus?
Well, we gotta capitalize on this. Put those horrible, I don't even want to call them B-movies, C-movies in there.
Grandma shows up and he's like, I know how much you loved that Krampus movie, Sonny, so I got you Krampus. And you look at it, it's Krampus the Christmas Devil.
Aww.
And in your suicide note, you blame your grandma for selling you that, for giving you that movie for Christmas.
As you should.
Okay, that got a little dark.
Jay, you bunny hopped your way off into the forest and died.
Written and directed by Michael Dougherty. Indeed. Creator we all loved behind Trick or Treat, and rumor is working on a Trick or Treat 2.
It's about damn time.
I think that's been a rumor for a while.
Yeah.
But this year it did sound like stuff was maybe progressing a little bit.
For a director as critically and audience acclaimed, it is very weird he has not done more things.
Like, because it's a couple of the MonsterVerse Godzilla movies, wrote Superman Returns of all things.
But as a director, it's like he has not worked nearly as much as you would think he would.
And yeah, but people would go and see it because, like, they're like, fuck, I love Michael, especially horror. Like, MonsterVerse is horror adjacent.
I mean, yeah, it's kaiju or monsters. Yeah. So yeah,
but like straight up like horror. Like,
I mean, if you were like, hey, there's a new movie from the guy who did Trick or Treat or Krampus, there'd be plenty of people. Yeah, there.
People would go see it.
They wouldn't even have to know his name.
Writers also include Todd Casey and Zach Shields. Mm. MJ Anthony plays our protagonist, Max. Adam Scott plays his dad, Tom. Jeff, favorite Adam Scott role?
Favorite Adam Scott role. I love him on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, he's really good in Parks and Rec.
I was gonna say, that's probably my favorite TV role is probably that. My favorite movie role is probably this.
Griff. He was the bully Griff in a handful of episodes of Boy Meets World. I think that's one of his like first roles. But no, it's probably Ben in Parks and Rec. Yeah.
Specifically the Cones of Dunshire.
Oh, it's all about the Cones. Listeners, delete those emails about Walton Goggins and send us your favorite Adam Scott role.
Or do both.
The mom from Hereditary, Toni Collette, plays a much better mom. Yes. Max's much nicer mom, Sarah, in this movie.
Arguable.
Stefania Lawin Owen plays the sister Beth. We got Krista Stadler as Omi. Conchata Farrell as Aunt Dorothy, famous for
good God,
Two and a Half Men. I mean,
yeah, that's the thing. But she should be famous for this performance.
You see anything you see her in a thing. Listener, if you've not seen Krampus, or if it's been a while, and it's like, oh, she's also the lady in Two and a Half Men. Like instantly, it pulls to mind like so many different roles she's been in.
She's kind of a Margot Martindale-esque actress.
Allison Tolman plays Linda. Dave Koechner is Howard. But Jeff knows him best as Dick from American Dad.
Oh, yeah.
Maverick Flack is Howie Jr. Queenie Samuel is Jordan. Lolo Owens is Stevie. Sage Humfield is Baby Chrissy. And we got Colin Dean voices Ruprecht the Elf. And I guess for me personally, I know him best as my boy Greg from Over the Garden Wall. Jeff, you ever seen Over the Garden Wall?
I have not.
An absolute fall watch. I think you'd really enjoy it. If you like Gravity Falls, which I know you do, I think you'd really like Over the Garden Wall. Only about 6-8 episodes. Cool. And only about 15 minutes a pop. So, and it's got Frodo.
Oh, Elijah Wood?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Speaking of Lord of the Rings connections, the amazing effects in this movie were done by Weta Digital.
Peter Jackson, I saw, was thanked in the...
Oh, yeah, because that's the whole reason they shot this in New Zealand is so they could work with Weta Workshop specifically.
And man, all the things in this look great. The worst looking thing, I think, is probably the gingerbread men. Yeah. And it's not that they look bad.
No, they do look
I just think they're the worst looking thing.
They look cartoony, but they don't look bad. The Weta Workshop like puppetry and stuff in this is amazing.
Tagline, you better watch out.
Indeed.
Budget $15 million, box office $61.5 million. So a hit by any way you measure it.
I say any standard, that's a mega hit.
Score by Douglas Pipes, the same folks who did Trick or Treat, or the same guy who did Trick or Treat. Personal experience, I listed mine, went and saw it opening.
I mean, I saw it probably, what would that have been, like a month or two after it came out at the Red Box, and then I watched it again a few years later, and then I went with you to Flicks. We've done that twice now?
Two or three times
we've seen it at Flicks. So I mean, this is a well-trodden movie for both of us.
Yep. Where to watch? Currently streaming on Shudder. I was surprised it wasn't the Joe Bob Christmas movie.
Yeah.
When they got it, I was like, oh man, that's got to be the Joe Bob. And I was really shocked that it was neither of them. But you watch it on Shudder, you can buy DVD copies. I have the naughty cut from Scream Factory.
I was going to say, buy the Blu-ray release. It's worth it. The behind the scenes info is great.
Or, I mean, if you're at fucking Walmart, I'm still finding $5 copies in like the $5 bin at Walmart. Like you can find this for cheap. And like if you've not seen this, or if you want to own a copy physically, they are out there. They are very easy to find.
Yes. And it's worth it. I would say this is definitely one you could buy and keep.
Anything else, or are you ready to dive into our synopsis here?
Well, I have a little. Have you ever read the graphic novel, Jay?
I think I am getting the hardcover copy from the Kickstarter. I don't think I've read the graphic novel. I'm aware of it, but I've not.
It contains the canonical ending for the movie, which may change your perspective, but I'll save that for the end.
I was going to say, we'll have to talk about the ending, because I know you and I have had kind of different takes on the ending. Yes, so.
And it has been confirmed with what the ending actually means, which is a positive or a negative, depending on how you look at it.
All right. Well,
so here we go.
First off, We've got custom frozen over production company logos. You know this is a big deal. When they change the production company logo, you know it's a huge deal for movies.
Well, I mean, after Trick or Treat.
Right. The production company logos aren't even done yet. The Legendary Picture logo is still on the screen, and you get the and like the music swells.
Amazing.
It's
soundtrack.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas starts to play, and we see people like doing Black Friday / last minute shopper stuff at this big box store called Mucho Mart. They're fighting, getting pictures with Santa, who's clearly disinterested in taking these pictures.
Basically footage right out of your local Walmart.
Getting tased by security. And then apparently they are running a like nativity play in the middle of this. And we see Tom and Sarah trying to stop Max from fighting with another kid during the Christmas pageant during these opening credits.
Well, to be fair, Jay, he was talking shit about Santa.
He was. My favorite part, like there's a lot of great moments in like this whole scene, but my favorite part is as Max and the kid are fighting, the old lady who's clearly like the music director at the school is still playing the piano completely unaware that everything is broken down.
Love it.
But I think that's my favorite part of the whole thing. And there's a lot of great moments in it. You get like annoyed, you know, minimum wage workers and all sorts of stuff. We see Omi watching a black and white Christmas carol. As she gets dinner ready, Max, Beth, Sarah, and Tom arrive home, and Sarah and Tom are mad at Max, or Mad Max, for picking a fight and ruining the Christmas recital. Max wants to have their family have Christmas like it used to be. He wants to, you know, have the Christmas traditions they used to have, but Tom's too busy dealing with work, and it seems like Sarah and Tom are kind of having some marital problems, and Sarah's family's coming over, and they just don't have time for this. But Omi tries to keep Max's Christmas spirit alive by, you know, encouraging him to write a letter to Santa and all sorts of stuff. So at least one person still wants to celebrate Christmas, but Max is feeling really bummed out by this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Beth talks to her boyfriend Derek on Zoom, who wants her to come over and smoke pot. But Sarah's family arrives. Ain't that just the way?
Yeah. Terrible.
I'm getting ready to go. Get high and fucking people show up.
Despicable.
If Max, Beth, Omi, Tom, and Sarah are the Griswolds, then Howard, Howie, Linda, Jordan, Stevie, Chrissy, Aunt Dorothy, and the dog Rosie are like Cousin Eddie and his family.
Yes.
That is the best way to...
It's the perfect way to describe it.
Stevie and Jordan at dinner steal Max's letter to Santa and read it in front of the whole family. But instead of wanting toys, it's that he wants his family to be happy, dealing with, you know, wanting mom and dad to love each other again, wanting Beth to spend time with me like she used to, you know, wanting Uncle Howard and Aunt Linda to like not have it so hard, you know, monetarily. Mm-hmm. And then has a line about how, you know, I wish Uncle Howard was okay with the fact that Stevie and Jordan are girls.
Yeah.
And they get really upset by that. And so then a big fight starts, and Max gets sent to his room where he says he hates Christmas and hates all of them, and tears up his letter to Santa and throws it out the window, where the wind picks up and it carries it away into the sky, and then snow starts to fall.
See, and I'm like, what the hell are these parents doing while they're just reading his letter out loud?
Yeah.
It's like, I'd be snatching that letter and these kids would be getting punished.
Yeah. No, yeah. Literally, like, you just let this happen.
Yeah. Wild.
The next day, Max opens up his advent calendar to reveal a snowman. And on a previous day, we see a gingerbread man. The power is out and the whole family is snowed in, but someone is outside making snowmen in the yard, which I think that would be a really interesting horror movie. Like, people are snowed in a cabin.
Oh, yeah.
But there's someone outside who keeps making snowmen. Like, snowmen keep coming up. And I think that would be a real interesting, like, isolated kind of Christmas horror film.
Yeah. Like an ATM that doesn't suck.
Yeah. I don't know what you do with this. I don't know if the snowmen are alive. Clearly they shouldn't be. It should be some kind of killer. Yeah. But I don't know where you go with this or what you do with this, but I think that would be a real interesting. I really wanted more from these snowmen characters. A DHL delivery driver arrives with a gift basket, and there's also a giant red sack filled with gifts. Omi makes hot chocolate in the fireplace, and Beth walks out to try and get to Derek's house, which is only four blocks away. So, you know, she can see if they have power or heat over there. And
again, the parenting, it's a literal blizzard outside. And you're like, oh, yeah, you can walk by yourself.
It'll be fine.
It's fine.
Beth walks against the snow and passes houses that are covered in icicles, like more than normal. Not just like, oh, there's like a couple icicles on the corner. Like these icicles are hanging from the roof down to the ground.
You look like you're in like the dead of winter in Siberia.
She starts to hear like some jingle bells like going through the sky, and then the sky gets dark real fast, and she notices like this red-robed hooded figure with large horns and cloven feet standing on a roof.
Sounds like a swell guy.
And she starts to run from and it's Krampus. She starts to run from Krampus, who like hops from rooftop to rooftop chasing her. She winds up at the DHL truck. And she goes to open the door and finds the driver inside, like, frozen, like, with a look of terror on his face. She goes and hides under the truck, and Krampus lands in front of her and kind of walks around and then jumps off again. And she breathes a sigh of relief and then kind of hears the chords of Silent Night finishing up and looks and see a jack-in-the-box that's lid slowly lifts. And we see like a creepy clown kind of poking its head out. And she's camera pans away and she screams and we hear a bunch of noise coming from under the truck.
Good God.
Later, Max notices a new snowman in the front yard and Tom and Howard make a plan to go find Beth at Derek's house. Omi begs them not to go, but Howard says the Hummer can make it.
Random snowman appears in the front yard, but who made it? Who gives a fuck?
Howard and Tom find an abandoned snow plow with the glass broken in, meaning that someone or something pulled the driver out. He didn't get launched through.
Glasses burst in, not out.
They find Derek's house abandoned with the door wide open. The fireplace is kind of exploded outwards. And there's a gingerbread man pinned to the wall with a knife, and a cloven hoof print is in the snow in the middle of the house.
Nah, I'm sure it's fine.
They hear Beth screaming and run out into the snow, where something in the snow bites Howard's leg and starts to pull him away, but Tom shoots it, and it lets him go, and they find Howard's Hummer destroyed.
Oh, no.
R.I.P. Lucinda the Hummer.
God, what a shame.
It's guzzling gas in heaven now. in the house, Linda and Sarah reminisce and kind of reconnect as sisters when they hear banging on the roof and then the gunshots, which it's wild that they can hear these gunshots four blocks away.
It's one of the aunt's best lines, too. And they're like, oh, it's probably squirrels. And she's like, yeah, squirrels up there playing with their nuts.
That was one of my quotes for Christmas carols. Sarah's going to go and investigate when Howard and Tom arrive back in. They get Aunt Dorothy and Omi to take the kids into the kitchen, and Omi tells Tom to keep the fire hot. Tom decides that they need to hold up in the house and barricade the doors and windows. Howard says he's got first watch. Everyone's going to hole up like I said.
Try to sleep together.
And they're gonna, he's like, I got first watch. And then we do one of my favorite things in a movie where the person who says they got first watch, we then cut and he's fast asleep.
Yeah.
Everyone else is asleep. We see the fires dying in the fireplace and a tablet is playing, I think, Silent Night. And like the last couple strains play right as the tablet dies. And then we hear a bunch of movement up in the attic, and then we see, or up on the roof, and then we see a chain with like a meat hook at the end come down the chimney with some bells on the end, and a little gingerbread man tied into the chain. Mm-hmm. Howie wakes up, goes and checks on it. He's a fat kid, and
he's gonna eat.
He's got to eat that gingerbread. He's starving, Jeff.
I saw that.
Yeah, he hasn't eaten in hours. So he gets up, takes a bite, and the gingerbread man then starts moving, comes alive, screams, then hog ties Howie, and then like yanks on the chains and the bell a little bit. And Howie starts getting pulled up the chimney.
Not a real fat kid, Jay, because as soon as that thing came alive and started screaming, I would have ate the rest of it.
Yeah, I'm just,
fighting back, eh? No cookies ever escape me.
The whole family, or the parents kind of run up to try to save him. And in the meantime, I think Sarah or Linda's feet kick one of the logs out of the fireplace and into the presents in the Christmas tree, nice which lights the Christmas tree on fire.
Wonderful.
And a bunch of the presents.
Hey, it's warm in here now.
But then Howie gets pulled up and they're not able to save him. Omi restarts the fire, once again reiterating that they have to keep this fire hot.
Indeed.
You think they would have paid attention the first time? No one listens to Omi.
No one cares.
And then she tells them all a story about being a child, and we get kind of like a claymation CGI kind of Coraline almost kind like of style.
A paper craft animation almost.
About how in Omi's town, the people had stopped believing in Christmas, and even her parents had stopped believing in Christmas, so she stopped believing in Christmas. She's like, that year I stopped wishing for a miracle. Yes. And instead I wished they would all go away.
She was Austrian.
And there was a and so then a big blizzard comes into town, just like what's happening right now.
Oh geez.
And Krampus and a bunch of his minions come and take everyone in the town away, but leave Omi with a little bell that says Gross Bomb Krampus.
Oh.
And she's kind of left as a, this is left as like a warning, like the line is something about like when hope is lost and the Christmas spirit dies. And that's kind of like the last, you got to keep the Christmas spirit alive in your house or in your heart, because if you don't, then the evil Krampus will come and get you.
Indeed.
Howard says it's all fairy tale horseshit. And he's going to go find Howie, opens the door, sees more snowmen and evil elves running around amongst the snowmen, and then gets pulled back inside.
Solid.
Tom comes up with a plan to get to the snowplow and then take it to look for help while the attic presents start to move and laugh.
Oh, boy.
Stevie and Jordan go upstairs because Aunt Dorothy clogged the toilet.
Speaking of, Aunt Dorothy's line when... she starts to tell her story about Krampus. It's like, you speak fucking English?
And so they go, and then they hear who they think is Beth calling for them to come up to the attic. So instead of going to the bathroom, they go upstairs and go to the attic. And they start screaming. Tom, Linda, and Sarah hear this and go to investigate that, while Howard hears something moving around in the kitchen. Howard gets attacked by three gingerbread men who have a nail gun.
Which, again, yes, a nail gun would hurt you momentarily, but get over there and eat those fucking cookies.
And so he's using a cutting board to protect him from the nails. And so they run out. They run out of nails, so he's able to shoot at them. And a bunch of them catch on fire and they're running around, and then two of them start running towards him. He shoots one, but the other one has like a candy cane that he's using as a dagger, and he's lunging in to hit him. And then you just hear a and the dog is eating the gingerbread man.
What the dog doing, Jay?
Thank God, Rosie.
But no, I'm like, all these scenes, it's like, do you people not understand what a cookie is? Just eat these fucking things.
Eat the cookie.
Quit wasting shotgun shells on these things.
In the attic, they find a bunch of evil toys. A jack-in-the-box has eaten Jordan, as Tom, Linda, and Sarah are attacked by a teddy bear, a robot, and like an angel atop the Christmas tree. Mm. The jack-in-the-box starts to move towards the air duct. Linda is able to stab the bear in the eye with an icicle, grabs an axe, cuts down Sarah, who's being hanged with Christmas lights, and then hits the angel, and then hits the robot off of Tom's back and tries to get the jack-in-the-box, but it escapes into the ducts, and they're at least able to wake Stevie up.
Basically the only one who's not useless out of this family.
They all get down to the living room and send Rosie into the ducts to get the jack-in-the-box. The toys attack again, and Aunt Dorothy grabs the shotgun, killing the bear and the angel, and is about ready as the jack-in-the-box falls through the ceiling and is about ready to shoot the jack-in-the-box when a horn sounds.
Oh, boy.
A bunch of elves burst through the window, grab Aunt Dorothy, baby Chrissy, and Howard, who has jumped on the back of the jack-in-the-box, and carries all of them away.
Which Aunt Dorothy died as she lived, Jay. A G. See you in hell.
then this is probably my favorite part of the whole movie. The power slowly starts to come back on, mm-hmm. and you hear Up on a Housetop start to play as there are loud thuds on the rooftop, mm-hmm. and Krampus starts coming down the chimney.
This is the first time you get a good look at him.
Yeah, everyone flees, but Omi, who says she's gonna, but essentially like she wants to confront him one on one. Jeff, describe what Krampus looks like in this movie.
Horrifying. He's got a bent back, goat hooves, like bulbous protrusions under his Saint Nicholas robe, a disgusting like parody of a Santa Claus mask that he's
it's like
wearing.
A face, like he murdered an old man with a white beard and is wearing his face, and there is something underneath it.
Yes, and you can see like goat-like features poking out from underneath his hood. As he should, he looks horrifying.
He's got these long, spindly fingers long, with huge fingers, nails on them, and a long tongue.
Mm-hmm. Disgusting.
A very great look for this movie.
Indeed.
Maybe not like traditionally Krampus, but I think for this movie, this is an amazing look.
I mean, I think so much of the goat man kind of like imagery and the demon imagery has been used so many times. If he had gone with the traditional like Krampus appearance, I don't think it would have worked as well, because people would be like, is that the devil?
Right.
What is that?
Where this is like this weird, you can tell it's supposed to be Santa Claus, but it's not right. Mm-hmm. And I just love that you can't tell. You never get a good look at him. You never know truly what you're like. What you see is not what's there.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what's on the surface. Like there's so much else going on.
Use sparingly, which is probably the right choice for almost any horror monster.
Omi gets got by a bunch of Krampus's evil toys. Mm. As Tom, Linda, and Sarah and the kids are running through the snow, they're just about to the snowplow when the parents kind of get picked off one by one by the creature in the snow that had gotten Howard earlier.
I'll say Tom said he's going to make the sacrifice or whatever and let him go on, but then his wife's like, "No, I can't leave him behind."
And then Linda gets gets taken as well.
Yeah.
Stevie and Max are able to get into the snowplow, and so he was like, "Why can't you start it?" And he's like, "I don't know how to start a stick." And it's like, just use the clutch, my dude.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, I mean, for a kid, especially his age,
he's supposed to be like a 10-12-year-old kid. And a couple of the killer elves show up. They grab Stevie. And Max goes to chase them out into the snow, and Krampus jumps down in front of him, lands in front of him with a loud, Marvel superhero style, and sticks out his hand and gives Max a bell that says Gross Vom Krampus, wrapped in the shredded remains of Max's letter.
So now he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt it's all his fault.
And it fades to black. As Omi's words about when Christmas dies and all hope is lost kind of echo in the background.
But unlike Omi, Max is going to make a different choice.
Yeah. Max trudges through the snow and finds Krampus's sleigh and all of his elves and his cool killer goats.
Yes, his disgusting demonic goats that pull his sleigh.
And it is like wickedly like warped wooden sleigh. Oh my God, it's such a cool look.
I mean, it looks like an anti-Santa Claus, basically.
He screams, "Hey, asshole, I take it back. Or I take back my wish. Give me back my family." And he throws the bell, which opens a portal to hell in the ground.
Nice.
Stevie gets thrown into the portal as Krampus and the elves laugh. Max says, "No, I said to take me instead." And Krampus grabs Max, holds him above the portal, and Max says, "Like, I'm sorry. I just wanted Christmas to be like it used to be." And he gets dropped in.
Ooh,
still not the end of the movie.
I know we're Return of the King it here, Jay.
Max wakes up in bed. It's Christmas morning, and he opens the advent calendar on the last day.
Ooh,
and it's now all being shot in like, I would say like Hallmark style, like very well lit, very like bright, not bright colors, but like bright lights.
Letters to Satan Claus style.
As Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas starts playing, Max goes downstairs and finds everyone alive and even says like, "Oh, you're all alive." And no one thinks that's a weird line for him to have said.
Which is weird because of what will happen in a minute.
They all start going through presents, and Max, tells his mom and dad that he loves them, and he's given a he gets a little box, and it's different than all the other presents, and he opens it up, and inside is the Krampus bell.
Ooh.
And everyone kind of gets dead silent, and they all start kind of looking around
like, oh, that wasn't a dream.
And then Santa Claus is Coming to Town starts up to play. Mm-hmm. As the camera slowly starts to pull back, and you know, through the window of the house, and it keeps going, and it pulls back, and we see like a snow globe, and the family's sitting inside of it, and then we see other houses with other snow globes with other houses, and the
thousands
camera,
of them,
and the camera keeps pulling back, and then we get one last jump scare as all the toys jump out and go woo, booga booga booga,
Merry Christmas,
stupid dog, you made me look bad.
What's your offer?
Credits roll. All right, Jeff, let's talk about that ending.
All right, Jay, what do you think the ending means?
So I was initially, I've come around on it because I had read an article about what Michael Dougherty wanted the ending to mean. Mm-hmm. I was initially they're all trapped in hell. Mm-hmm. Like I think the majority of the people that watch the movie think that is the ending of the movie.
Well, see, I kind of thought that, but mine was a little bit different. I was like, he's getting his wish, but in a punishment style way where he relives Christmas every day.
Basically. That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
But Michael Dougherty more said it, Krampus is watching, you know,
yeah.
Max, you know, the difference is the reason Omi didn't get her family back was she didn't wish for them back. She didn't stand up to him. Yeah, yeah, she didn't keep Christmas in her heart. Mm-hmm. So Omi survived. She got the ornament, but Krampus still, you know, Max stood up to him. Krampus gave him everything back, mm-hmm. but still has that reminder.
The warning,
you know, yeah. You've got to keep Christmas alive in your heart.
But yeah, that is the canonical ending in the graphic novel, which has been stated to be the actual ending. Is yes, it's like the snow globes are like Krampus's surveillance network where he watches to make sure you are doing what you promised.
Yeah. I do think that's a great idea. Like the it's Christmas every day.
Yes.
But it's this horrible version. Yes,
Christmas hell is what I was hoping for, but I mean I could see how he wanted to have it because at the end of the day, Krampus is supposed to punish bad kids. And it's like, if he learned his lesson and he repented, he should have a better ending.
Yep.
Because Krampus is not technically a villain, I would say.
Yep. No, I think the people, and the more I've like thought about it and the more I've watched the movie, knowing what Michael Dougherty has the ending mean,
mm-hmm.
the more I think people who are it's not a happy ending. It's a, you know, they're all trapped in hell kind of deal. Like this is a punishment. They're trapped in these snow globes. The more I think people who have that reading of the movie maybe weren't paying attention to Omi's story, zoned out when the style of the movie changed.
Could be. But yeah, no, it's like he stated that's what it is. That's the canonical ending now in the graphic novel. So it's like, I mean, you could think whatever you want, I guess. It's your opinion.
Yeah.
Canonically, it's not. It's like a surveillance type thing.
Yeah. I think it works.
Like I said, I initially was kind of opposed to it, but then it's like, but if you actually would look at the movie in the spirit of Krampus, then that ending would actually make sense.
Yep. Which then I think works a little better with the whole idea. Like I think a lot of people who are against this movie from the aspect of like this isn't what Krampus is maybe aren't aware that the ending is more of a happy ending.
Well, and I mean Krampus does drag people to hell and he does eat children. Yep. I mean that's Krampus lore. I mean, he wasn't always, I mean, even though the Catholic Church tried their absolute best to suppress everything related to Krampus, he existed before Santa Claus and Christmas, and his more violent nature persisted well into the Christian period.
But it's one of those where it's like, you know, I get the people who are mad. I don't know if mad's the right word, but I don't like the movie because it's not, like, faithful to the thing. Mm-hmm. But it's like, at the same time, and like, you need to watch the movie because it is more than you think it is.
Yeah. I was going to say, as far, I mean, it's yes, the eating people and beating children or whatever and all that is supposed to, and dragging people to hell is supposed to be for like the really, really bad people.
Yep. You know, it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be good natured fun where, you know, adults get out and run around and young men like in like late teens, early 20s get out and get drunk and chase people around. I went to the Krampus Lauf at the Chris Kindle Market.
So did my brother.
And every time I go, I'm always like, these people aren't drunk enough. They need to be more rowdy and more drunk.
Did you get your coal? You got coal from
Krampus. Oh, I did not get I did not get Krampus coal. That's all right. I went, had a couple drinks, and then we went to Hessen House because they were doing a Krampus menu. Cool. So we did that. Jeff, where do you want to start off for categories?
Well, we've already been saying a bunch of them, so why don't we do our Christmas carols?
All right, Christmas carols, favorite quotes. There are so many more quotes I think I could have gotten. I only picked a handful, but there's a lot of like one-liners and little zings that I think could be highlighted. A couple of mine are Aunt Dorothy's, and then I've got a Max and Beth kind of back and forth. But there are so many like little one-liners that I think all the people have. You know, when you've got, you know, a bunch of comedy people doing a horror comedy, like you're gonna get fun little one-liners and comedic deliveries. Aunt Dorothy, your sister's no Mother Teresa, but at least she swings by every once in a while to make sure that I'm not dead.
Yeah.
So still not paying Linda a compliment, just being like, well, she's better than you.
Yeah, better than nothing, I guess. Yeah.
Then I've got Sarah, the line, you, Sarah, probably squirrels. Aunt Dorothy, in this weather, footsteps followed by a loud thud. Sarah, see? Squirrels. Aunt Dorothy, yeah, probably playing with their nuts. And then my last one is, he even told a first grader that Santa is just a cheap marketing ploy invented to sell Pepsi. Beth, Coke. Max, you know what I mean. Beth, but not why you care.
Of course, Aunt Dorothy, when we finally get our background and we get our shift to the like paper/clay animation Krampus, and she starts speaking in English, shit, she speaks English. I mean, I'm sure it would have been fucked she speaks English, but it was PG-13.
There's the line where Linda's like, mother fudger, and I was watching the naughty cut, which has more, you know, it's the director's cut of the movie, and I was really expecting that to be a fuck.
Yeah.
And I was kind of more disappointed. I was like, god damn it.
Howard and Linda at the table. I said no gun talk at the table, Howard. If you ask me, this family could do with a little more gun talk. Lucinda will make it. That's one of my favorite Howard things. Then they look out at there's like at this point snowdrifts probably like 8 feet deep. Lucinda will make it.
I point this thing due east and we'll be storming the beaches of Normandy by dawn. Is your Hummer built for any planet, Howard?
The only survival training I need is my smoke pole and those 12 gauge shells I got out there in Lucinda.
Uncle Howard bought a prototype Cybertruck.
Yeah.
It also drowns in the water because it turns out they're not built for any planet.
Oh, boy. the schnapps and the drinks in the kitchen. That's great.
I'm going to show these. I hate kids. I even hated kids when I was one. Mm-hmm. Aunt Dorothy, please. All right, I'll teach them how to make peppermint schnapps.
Yeah.
And then she's like mixing hot cocoa and vodka, and then she's like adding a candy cane, and she's like, you know, it makes everything taste better. And then Howie's sitting there, and she's like, all right, you can have a drink. Just don't tell your parents.
Just one. I mean, the best aunt. I think probably the best aunt. And of course, she knows, she's probably the second most effective family member at fighting back against Krampus's minions. And then, yeah, when she realizes everything's done and she's getting drug out, she's like, I'll see you in hell.
I love one thing I love about this movie, and I don't think I like had highlighted it in my notes as I kind of around it, but not this specifically. I love that like it's this family that's very obviously like at ends with each other. They're they're, and you know, and the whole idea is, you know, coming back together, you know, Krampus, Max, you know, takes back his wish. He, you know, he stands up to Krampus, you know, that's the end of the movie. And one thing I do kind of love, and I think it is more in the naughty cut than it is in the regular one, but you see the family coming back together, regaining, you know, that familial connection.
Well, and it's a realistic, more realistic portrayal, I would say, of the family dynamics, because rarely do all the members of a family agree on anything.
Yep.
But it's showing, like, you know, they each have individual skills and perspectives that they bring to it, and when they work together, it's easier for everybody.
But, like, you know, Aunt Dorothy doesn't like these kids, but she's going to protect this family. And, like, Linda and Sarah, are clearly kind of have issues with each other. But in the naughty cut, you get this whole extra scene of them kind of, like, talking about how they kind of envy each other and like each other's situations. And you know, you get moments of like a quiet moment where Howard and Tom kind of like respect each other and stuff like that.
Even if they don't agree, they develop like a mutual respect for each other.
Which, yeah, just I thought that's really cool. And a really good Christmas kind of thing message. For a Christmas message, which I guess moving on, Christmas spirit, how Christmassy is the movie, how Christmassy are the kills?
All of it, Jay. All of it is Christmassy. It has all the Christmas.
This feels like the 2010s version of movies like Home Alone or Christmas Vacation. Like, not, you know, not the, not a It's a Wonderful Life or a Christmas Story. This is, you know, what one of those other ones where it's like, it feels like it's just in that long line of tradition. The you know, the whole dysfunctional family coming together at Christmas time. And while I prefer the look of Black Christmas or Christmas Bloody Christmas, there's no denying that this movie is hella Christmassy. It's
saturated with Christmas.
Kills.
I mean,
kills. In quotes.
I mean, yeah.
The violence.
As much as there were kills, yeah. I mean, it's violence being done by toys and gingerbread men and elves.
I mean, don't know how it could get much more Christmassy.
I'd say it's pretty much the most Christmassy violence.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes, I mean, et cetera.
We shouted it out, but the Weta effects work on the, like, the decision by Michael Dougherty to insist, because the studio really wanted it to be all CGI. And he was like, no, we need to do as many things as we can cost effectively do with practical effects, we need to do. And that's why this movie is going to stand the test of time, I think, because these effects, these puppets, especially like the puppets for the toys, look amazing. I mean, even like we said, the gingerbread men, while they're cartoony, still look good. They still look like they fit in the movie.
Yep.
I mean, and I love the costume. I mean, Aunt Dorothy's costume is like pretty much exactly what you know her character when you see her standing in the door before she even says anything, based on like the house coat and stuff that she's wearing.
Yep.
I mean, they do a great job with that. They do a great job showing Ben through his clothes, Howard through his clothes. I mean, he's got, I think Michael Dougherty, or at least whoever he had doing costuming for him, if not him, had a really great eye for like portraying character traits through clothing.
Everything you said.
I mean, of course, Krampus too. We already talked about his design being great.
Yep. No, Krampus and the monsters all look cool. This movie, a thing you and I kind of talked about for ATM, like that ATM felt cold. This movie looks cold. I don't necessarily know that it feels cold.
Honestly, through some of it, no, but when like the fire is low, when he's supposed to, when Howard's supposed to be keeping watch or whatever, that scene worked for me. Like, oh yeah, they're trapped in a house with no power.
But the and then once again, shout out for Douglas Pipes. Awesome soundtrack.
I mean, pretty much unimpeachable soundtrack, the perfect soundtrack for this movie.
What's that leave us with? Broken bulb, brilliant bulb.
I believe
one thing you want to fix, one thing you want to praise.
Yes.
What do you want to fix, Jeff? What's your broken bulb?
Broken bulb, Jay. And I know it's gonna sound bad to a lot of people probably, but why wasn't this R-rated? Trick or Treat was R-rated. This could have been R-rated. They could have done some more violence. They could have done. I mean, the biggest thing that this would have benefited from being R-rated would be language. So I think people could have spoken more realistically. I mean, like people talk to each other.
Yep.
If this had been R-rated, I don't really see a reason why, because having it be PG-13, it's like no parent is going to see this and be like, oh yeah, this is what I should show my kid for Christmas. It's like this was a movie aimed at adults or at least teenagers who know how to get into an R-rated movie.
Right.
I mean, no, anybody who wanted to see this and the target audience for it would have seen it. So I really don't get the point of making it PG-13.
My fix for a and I know all the things we talked about, budget, etc., so on and so forth. For a movie called Krampus, I would like the titular character to do a bit more.
Yeah.
Like that is alongside everything else we said about how great it looks, mm-hmm. how, you know, there's more beneath the surface and you're only getting a glimpse of this character and everything like that. That is with all of that in mind, I'm just like, I don't know. I want like Krampus to like throw someone through a wall, mm-hmm. or like, you know, I want Krampus to do 5 more minutes of Krampus in this movie. Yeah. Like,
no, it would have been cool to see him doing some of the implied destruction and stuff out on the street, or like, you know, seeing him freeze the DHL driver would be cool.
Yep.
Something like that would be awesome. Or, you know, just seeing him, even like when he comes in the storm, if you could see him like landing his sleigh and some more scenes with that stuff, that would have been cool.
Yep. Yeah, just like, you know, just, yeah, 5 minutes more of Krampus, yeah. And I think I would be happy, but it's just one of those things where it's, because I love all these monsters, I think all these monsters are top 10, but it's like, but I feel like these monsters do all the shit,
yeah,
and other than toss Max into the portal to hell, like, Krampus doesn't fucking do anything.
Well, he does stand in front of Grandma, Jay.
Menacingly,
of course. But yeah, no, I agree with you, it could have done with a touch more Krampus, I would say.
Praise. What's your brilliant bulb?
That was hard to do because there's so many great things to praise in this. But honestly, I think Oma's performance is what I landed on. She sells like a grandmother who's trying to help her grandson recapture the magic of Christmas like pretty much perfectly. And especially like the way she tells her story about her encounter with Krampus before. I mean, the way she's trying to keep all the holiday traditions alive and nobody gives a shit. And you could tell like she does it. And she, you could see like as the movie goes on, her get progressively more like sad in her eyes and like, oh, this is just going to happen again, isn't it? And nobody cares what I have to say.
No, there are so many moments where she just gives like a sad look at her. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, man.
And it's like, it's such, for somebody who has so few lines, especially so few lines in English, such a great performance that really ties the whole movie together. So I wanted to shout her out.
Mine's kind of along the same lines. This cast is fucking top tier. Mm-hmm. Maybe with the exception of Black Christmas, the 1974 one, like that's a pretty stacked cast overall. This might be the best cast we have for any one of these movies.
I mean, as far as like known actors, yeah, for sure.
Like, you know, all these people, like, you know, Adam Scott's still incredibly active. I would say more active now. People love, what, Severance? Is that the show he's in? Yeah. People fucking love that. You know, Toni Collette, people love her and
always
shit.
Getting like, stuff, yeah.
You know, Conchata Ferrell, RIP, mm-hmm. like, you know, once again, was huge for Two and a Half Men.
In demand, yeah.
You know, for sure. Dave Koechner, like, listener, if you don't recognize the name,
you recognize his face.
Hot Tub Time Machine, yes. The Office.
Anchorman.
Mm-hmm. You know, Dick on American Dad. You'd know the guy if you saw him.
He's one of those actors. It's like, oh, that's that guy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those where you're just like, man, what a top to bottom, what a stacked cast.
No, I agree.
Final rating. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our Christmas horror movie on one of three categories. Is it seasonally scary? Is it ho 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 hilarious? Or is it you'll be sorry? Jeff.
Well, I know I praise this movie a lot, Jay, but I had to make it you'll be sorry because they fucked up my ending. If everybody's not in hell, I hate the movie.
0 out of it was all a dream. 0 out of 10. I'm gonna have one of those.
But no, I mean obviously seasonally scary. I mean, even for a PG-13 movie, there's some genuinely unsettling moments in this. I thought the scenes with the creatures moving under the snow worked really well. There's something like disgusting about the Jack in the Box swallowing a kid and then like being like a snake who's just like swallowed a deer or whatever. Like when you see one of those pythons,
it's got this big bulge in the middle,
took a giant prey animal down and it's like trying to crawl away.
And then I love that it's still got the tiny little box to go back into.
Like, yes. It's just like things like that just are. Krampus looks horrifying. And even the little bit of a glimpse you get up close, it's like, I'm glad I can't see what's under that mask because it would probably be disgusting. There's so many great comedic moments, like we said, so many great serious moments. It has an actual Christmas lesson learned and a good Christmas coming together family message that's basically not told in any movies anymore, which is kind of a sad state for Christmas movies. But I mean, when is the last time we had a good Christmas movie?
Elf?
Yeah.
Maybe. I you and I liked Red One, but.
But I mean, yeah, that doesn't really have the spirit of Christmas. That's more of like an action movie.
Yep.
I mean, Violent Night, I mean, it's a cool movie, but I wouldn't say it really captures this kind of Christmas family spirit.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, yeah. Elf is probably.
That's probably the closest one. Yeah.
And that was early 2000s?
I was going to say, yeah, over 20 years ago at this point.
Like, you know, maybe there's something we're overlooking, but yeah, like this feels like.
As far as things that have entered the mainstream, yeah. This feels like it is more, like you said, it's more connected to those holiday classics than anything that's come out in a long time.
I'm completely with you. I agree on everything. I gave it a ho 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 hilarious. But everything you said. I think this being PG-13 makes it. It allows a bit more of that stuff. Like it allows for a bit more of the family friendliness.
Yeah.
Like it, I think this belongs right alongside Elf, Home Alone, Christmas Vacation this is a non-traditional Christmas favorite, you know, not the Die Hard's a Christmas movie,
oh boy,
but more like the, hey, you know, yeah, my family, we watch Christmas movies, but they, you know, and they all have a lesson. They all do that, you know, do the kind of thing that you're saying, you know, but it's those movies plus Krampus.
Yes, it's more of, I would say there's the genre of realistic Christmas movies, and then there's like the genre of idealized Christmas movies, like your Miracle on 34th Street, your It's a Wonderful Life, mm-hmm. things like that, where everything is perfect for the family or whatever. And then you have these more like Christmas Vacation styles where it's like, yes, our family is dysfunctional, people don't always get along, but we do come together for the Christmas holiday and try to have fun.
No, I think this is great. And honestly, like, this might be, and I might, this and Gremlins, oh, Gremlins might be another big cast. But this and Gremlins and like Ghostbusters, like as gateway horror movies, like I think this is towards the top of like, if you want to get your kids into horror,
mm-hmm.
this is a great place to start. Put this on around Christmas time. You know, do maybe on Christmas Eve, maybe show like a kind of a feel good movie, then show Krampus, and then Christmas morning after everything happens, you can, you know, show a couple more feel good movies but kind of ease them into it. Like I don't think kids would be too scared by this movie, like even with the PG-13.
I was going to say, maybe a little bit older kids, because I think probably like my 7-year-old nephew would probably be horrified by this movie.
Yeah, but like 10-year-olds.
Yeah, like when you get closer to a teenager, I'd say that's probably a good time to introduce them to something like this.
But Jeff, did you stop to think? Maybe we're stupid idiots and maybe we're wrong.
Well, no, Jay, because I already declared myself the only movie critic with a legitimate opinion. I suppose we can entertain some internet nonsense if you want.
I did want to read this one. Most of my stuff's going to be people, you know, people being negative towards this movie because, you know, that's what we do on Close for Christmas. We you know, oh, we're wrong. We do this. But I just wanted to read the title of this post I found on Reddit. Krampus 2015 is the most bonkers and insane Christmas horror movie I've seen since Silent Night, Deadly Night 1 and 2.
Huh?
I would, maybe Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 is bonkers and insane because it's so
yeah,
weird. I mean,
You might be able to do that with that one. Yeah, but the first one is not bonkers or insane.
I saw Krampus recently, and while I wasn't familiar with Krampus folklore, I was interested in seeing the movie because Michael Dougherty directed Trick or Treat, and that has become one of my favorite Halloween movies. There were times where I thought this movie was rated R because of some of the scenes are brutal for a PG-13 movie. It has a good mix of horror and comedy, and even the kid characters were surprisingly interesting. Probably the most insane Christmas horror movie after Silent Night, Deadly Nights 1 and 2. This was a year ago. Dude, literally The Leech exists. You want to go insane? Watch fucking movie.
I was going to say, there's so many more insane Christmas movies. Oh my God.
And like, from the bonkers aspect, Two Front Teeth. Mm. It is free to watch on YouTube.
Oh boy. Well, you know, congratulations to you, sir, you poor sheltered soul.
I've only seen three Christmas horror movies, and this is the third best one.
Silent Night, Deadly Night 1 is bonkers, Jay. Bonkers.
And as by the books, like, of a Christmas slasher as you can get.
Yes, as I say, as basic of a slasher as could possibly exist.
Still a great movie. Like, nothing again.
Well, yeah, it's not poorer for following the formula, but it is, like, bog standard. There's nothing crazy about it.
That literally popped up, and I went, what the fuck? There are so many weird, like, have you only watched three?
I mean, maybe.
Wants to keep the internet cred by implying they've seen more, but actually has only seen one. I do think there is a good chance, like we said at the top, that a lot of the reviews, people might have been leaving reviews for movies that aren't this movie. So I specifically went out of my way to try to find ones that I was pretty sure were talking about this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there are a lot of reviews online, and it's people talking about Krampus the Christmas Devil.
Yeah. It was hard to sort through some of them, but I was able to find some gems here, Jay.
Krampus origins and...
Oh boy, there's so many.
All sorts. All right. Do you want to go first?
Sure. One star, 0 stars, if I could.
Oh, yeah.
Had to find this one for Jay. He loves these. Naughty List Cinema. Krampus wants to be Gremlins so badly it practically jingles when it walks. Instead of sharp satire or holiday horror, it delivers a limp, studio-safe creature feature wrapped in tinsel and bad jokes. The movie promises ancient folklore and Christmas terror, then backs out the second things might get interesting. The tone flip-flops constantly. One minute it's grim folklore, the next it's mugging for laughs like a bad SNL sketch. Pick a lane. The creatures, which should be the highlight, are either underused or played for goofy laughs. The gingerbread men look like leftover CGI from a straight-to-DVD cartoon, and the jack-in-the-box demon is reduced to a single gag that stretched way too long. By the time the movie ends, it hadn't scared, unsettled, or amused me. Just wasted my time. 0 stars. Cole would have been kinder.
Hmm.
You want to know how many upvotes that had, Jay?
How many?
Take a guess, ballpark figure.
Oh man, that's the thing. I know I'm not gonna like it. I don't know, like probably like 150 something.
6,000.
Jesus Christ. 1 out of 10. Worst movie I have ever seen. The worst movie.
Oh wow, really the worst movie?
And this was December 14th of 2015.
Oh my God. Right afterwards.
Right after release.
Oh boy.
This was one of the worst movies I have ever seen in my entire life.
Haven't seen many movies.
It was worse than Teeth. What? Which is the vagina teeth movie.
Okay.
About 20 minutes, I wanted to leave the theater and see The Night Before instead. Heard many laughs from the theater next door. I felt that I had wasted every cent I had paid to see this movie, and I would have rather thrown the money in the garbage as I felt it would have gotten a better use. It felt as if every minute that passed was worse than the next. I believe the saying is worse than the last. That means it was good at the beginning and got.
can we say something real quick here? Can we stop this poor mouthing bullshit and all these reviews? I paid to see this movie and I felt like my money. It's like you paid probably $7 to $10
in 2015
to see this movie. I mean, and even now you could still see movies. If you join like movie club or whatever, you pay like $5 to see it during the day. Can we stop acting like we're martyrs for going and seeing right. a bad movie?
There are so many worse things you could complain about. If you don't want to go see movies, don't fucking see movies.
It's like I spent $9 on this movie ticket and I got ripped off, Jay. Anyway, I'm gonna do like $10 worth of microtransactions on my phone now. Goodbye.
The trailer did a great job of making the movie look like it was going to be good somehow. that's what trailers are supposed to do.
Yeah, that so it had a trailer. Okay.
I feel as though any movie in the history of movies would have been more pleasing to watch than this film, and I will never recommend this movie to anybody ever.
Honestly, I don't think you should be recommending anything to anybody. And what I would recommend for you, I can't say unless we want to get banned off YouTube.
Beep. So,
but all right. Let's just say I have some recommendations for what you could do.
That thing at the top of the show about the cramp getting Krampus the Christmas Devil from your grandma.
Yeah.
That's the thing you should do.
Bit, yeah. Anyway, 1 out of 10. A horror movie afraid of its own shadow. For a movie about punishing people who've lost the Christmas spirit, Krampus sure lacks any spirit of its own. This is horror sanded down until it's safe enough to play at the mall. Every potentially scary moment is undercut by a quip, a mug, or a musical sting that screams, "Don't worry, this'll still be fun." The folklore is fascinating in theory, but the movie treats it like a novelty mask you put on for Halloween and you forget about the next day. Krampus himself barely feels like a presence. This is more like a theme park mascot. He shows up late and leaves early. If you're going to make a horror movie about judgment, punishment, and winter dread, maybe don't be afraid to upset the audience. Just a thought. Also, Trick or Treat is garbage.
Oh, okay. So that's your whole... All right.
How many upvotes you think on that one, Jay?
Oh... I don't, Jeff, I don't want to guess on this anymore. It's going to make me sad.
12,000.
Jesus. That's the thing too. Like, not understanding, like one, the movie's PG-13 this movie should have been scary as fuck. Not in like potentially not understanding that that horror comedies exist.
I mean, I would argue that there are scary moments in this movie. So I don't understand what everybody's on about.
Right. 1 out of 10. I'm pretty sure someone paid people to give this thing good, and then they ran out of space because IMDb reviews are only allowed to be so long.
Don't you love IMDb?
In my opinion, this is one of those movies that deserves a zero. I'm really puzzled by all those high ratings and the awards this movie got. For starters, there is not one single likable character in this movie.
Really?
Really?
You don't even like Aunt Dorothy? Come on.
They are all either... evil for no reason, disgustingly rude, or just plain out of touch.
Which character is evil?
None of these.
Yeah, the kids act like bratty kids. I don't think that makes them evil.
This is one of the few ones that maybe they're talking about a different Krampus movie.
It doesn't sound like it. Like they just don't like it.
The decision they make don't really make sense. If you watch it, you'll know what I mean. The decision to hold up in their house because there's monsters outside?
Maybe they're talking about going to check or whatever. I don't know.
I watched it because I had read some reviews that compared it to some horror classics from the 80s. But, I mean, Gremlins had a plot and some humor that actually worked.
Oh, they're definitely talking about this.
Yep. This movie tries to be funny and dark and ends up with bad graphics or stuffed animals that kill people. Like, yeah, they're talking about this movie.
What is the bad graphics? I mean, yeah.
Other than the gingerbread men.
The gingerbread men don't look amazing, but they're like hardly like bargain basement garbage or something.
I don't know. Sometimes movies are so bad they're good, but this one just got stuck at bad. If you can, please watch something else.
Wow.
I think one thing I don't think people realize is that if you're reading reviews of a movie... certainly on IMDb, if you're leaving reviews on a movie, it's normally people who've already seen the movie.
Mm.
And so like, no one's gonna, I'm gonna go read all the reviews before I watch it. Oh, this person said to watch something else. No one's gonna, fuck you. All the people have already seen it.
1 star, holiday horror for people who don't like horror and don't like the holidays. This movie is what happens when a studio says, let's make a horror movie, but make sure nobody gets too scared, too uncomfortable, or too challenged. The result is a beige blur of snow, screaming relatives, and monsters that feel like rejected Goosebumps villains. The characters are loud, annoying, and indistinguishable. You don't root for them. You just wait for the movie to end. When bad things happen, there's no wait. When the ending hits, it feels smug rather than shocking, like the movie congratulating itself for being clever when it absolutely is not. Calling this horror is generous. Calling it Christmas horror is an insult to both. I have no idea how Michael Dougherty was allowed to make another movie after the train wreck that is Trick or Treat, but I suppose that's the Hollywood system for you.
You know, universally beloved movie Trick or Treat, yeah.
Well, you would think that, Jay. You would think it. Unfortunately, we did that one before we did the negative reviews.
You're right.
Not universally.
1 out of 10. This should have been called Krappus.
Yeah. Got him.
Setting up a horror movie with a marketing campaign that screams horror movie, then presenting us with a family-friendly horror movie in which the hero is a tween and everyone lives in the end is just an extremely crappy thing to do.
This is not family-friendly. It's still a horror movie.
Of course, I should have seen that coming from the guy who turned Superman into a sickeningly lovesick Lois Lane stalking Peeping Tom with his Superman Returns story. You know the Man of Steel story that made Superman 4 The Quest for Peace look like Gone with the Wind? He didn't do Man of Steel. You're thinking of Superman Returns.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway.
Okay. They literally lure a fat kid with a gingerbread cookie, wrap him up, and drag him up the chimney. Presumably to kill him.
Yep.
But yeah, there's no horror here, Jay. It's family friendly.
Newsflash, Mr. Dougherty. Horror films and family films don't mix well. I guess I'll tell Gremlins.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Sorry, Joe Dante.
Yeah, you idiot.
Decide which one you're going to make and stick with it. And then he goes on four paragraphs.
Oh, my God.
I think describing the plot of the movie.
Oh, okay. So he's doing what we do, but we actually read it to you. We don't make you read it.
But I will read the last line. As a fan of horror and an author of it as well, I am thoroughly disappointed. Don't hide behind this really sucks. Tell us who you are so I can go check out your stuff.
Yeah, why not? Let's see how you write. Krampus without the bite. This is a blog post. Of course, the rating at the end was 0 stars. Krampus is supposed to be a terrifying folkloric embodiment of punishment and winter death. In this movie, he's a background decoration. The film spends more time on shrill family arguments than on building dread, atmosphere, or any kind of mythic weight. When the monsters finally do show up, they're either goofy or rushed through like checklist items. The cinematography is muddy, the pacing drags, and the humor feels so forced. Like the directors terrified the audience might actually feel something unpleasant. Horror thrives on discomfort. Krampus should be avoided at all costs. 0 stars. This movie belongs on the naughty list permanently. And I will say, Michael Dougherty is no genius.
Well, all right. This is my last one, Jeff.
Okay.
1 out of 10. Man, Michael Dougherty, not a genius. All right.
I guess.
1 out of 10. Laughable. Horse shit. I hated it. Don't see it. Hate it. Laughable.
Is that Uncle Howard?
That's Eric Mead.
Ah. Gremlins did it better 30 years earlier. 1 star. This movie wants to be a modern cult classic so bad, but ends up as a forgettable cable rerun.
Joke's on you, dude. This is a classic.
It borrows the tone, structure, and creature chaos of Gremlins, but removes all the charm, menace, and personality. What's left behind is a loud, unfocused mess that mistakes noise for energy and CGI for imagination. Are they thinking these effects are CGI? Because they're totally not, but whatever. Even the ending, meant to be dark and ironic, lands with a thud because the movie never earned it. You don't feel horror, tragedy, or dread. You just feel relieved that it's over. If this is Christmas horror, I'll take the fruitcake instead.
Oh, zing!
Busting a gut.
Take that, Michael Dougherty.
All of the snow, none of the cold. My final one, 0 stars.
Boy.
A movie about winter evil should feel cold. This movie feels like it was filmed on a heated soundstage with the thermostat cranked up. No atmosphere, no tension, no fear, just jump scares and screaming. Krampus feels less like an ancient demon goat man and more like a mascot wheeled out for photo ops. This is horror with training wheels. Safe, toothless, and instantly forgettable. The real Christmas punishment is watching this travesty.
Once again, pretty great gateway horror. Yeah. Honestly, Trick or Treat is probably going to be my gateway horror for my kids for Halloween movies.
No, Jay, no. No, you're totally wrong. Horror should be terrible, horrifying right off the bat, the scariest thing you've ever seen, so that way you never want to watch another one again.
That's the thing, too. It's like so often now, like, and I think part of it is you and me doing this. I'm so much less scared by stuff now. Like, a jump scare will still get me. That's what a jump scare is designed to do. But it, but so often I'll be sitting there, I'm like, I heard a jump scare. Watching Welcome to Derry.
Yeah.
Oh, Pennywise is gonna pop up any second here. The tension's building. Oh, we're gonna get some Pennywise.
Look at my deadlights, everybody.
Oh, I will say I did. Random tangent here. That last episode was real rough. I was not a fan.
It's, you know what? It's following in the grand tradition of the new It movies. It gets worse as it goes along.
There are so many things that I like about the whole series, and I'm gonna keep watching it because it is fun. But it's one of those, like, the more you think about it, the more you're like, what's going on?
None of the motivations of any of this make any sense at all.
But I did enjoy the kind of ice cream man puppeteering the principal's body on the stage. I thought that was great.
I liked when Harley Quinn showed up in that one episode, Jay. That was fun. Oh, geez, Mr. Jay. Are you my dad?
I don't, it's just...
Michael Dougherty is an idiot, Jay. Yeah, and this movie is terrible.
This is so good.
Everything is not the scariest thing I've ever seen. It's terrible.
Yeah, and it's I think the last movie that scared me was The Leech.
Yeah.
I think that's the last scary movie I watched that I went, wow, I'm still, like, my hair's still standing on end. Like,
what was mine? Smile 2. I think when you find out the reveal at the end, have you watched it?
Yes.
Yeah. I was going to say that one was generally like, oh, well, really? So none of it, none of it at all.
But yeah, it's just one of those things where I'm just sitting there and I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't, like, if a horror movie scared me, I'd be happy, but I don't know that I would be that is my definition for why a movie should be good.
I was gonna say, if we use that as the definition for good horror, then we would rate almost nothing good, because at this point almost nothing scares me.
Right, exactly. Like, I go to haunted houses and I go to have fun, and like I will literally walk by with a smile on my face, and like the thing that scares me is when, like, it's a loud noise. Yes. Which, once again, a jump scare is designed to make you jump. It's just, yeah, these people, oh, it's not scary, it's bad. Like, shut up. Shut the fuck up.
No. Not only is it not scary, it's bad. It's just bad. It's badly made. Nothing in it is good. Nothing in it is redeemable.
By not being scary, it's not good. Shut up. shut the fuck. All of you people, shut the fuck up. Naughty list.
I mean, an immortal spirit with the power to conjure Christmas storms, an unlimited army of unkillable minions, because none of them get even damaged at the end, find out. I guess the ability to observe everywhere. He has Santa Claus's ability to see you when you're sleeping and everything, which, by the way, creep.
Fucking Harry standing outside your window.
Fuck out of here, Santa. Anyway, he has to be pretty high up.
Oh, he's got to be.
I don't think, is there anything on our naughty list that could beat Krampus?
See, that's the thing, is he's kind of like Sam, his own category.
Yes, he's pretty, like, much a spirit of the holiday incarnate. He, like, can't really be destroyed.
Because, like, you could argue, you know, Satan from Letters to Satan Claus.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Like, and, you know, certainly, like, you know, the nuke from White Doomsday. I think we had.
I mean, you know, Santa survived that, so presumably Krampus would survive.
True, you're
that.
Right. So yeah, like it, you know, he's kind of in a tier on it. You know what? It stinks when we get around to our trick or treat list in the Spooktacular, where it's like, yeah, like Pumpkinhead could probably beat Sam, but it doesn't mean anything because
he's never permanently destroyed.
Yep, and yeah,
I mean, and we have to take that into account. I mean, that would be like ranking Jason on a list and not taking into account he always comes back.
Yep. So yeah, like Krampus is I think top tier. Like yeah,
he has to be. He's definitely. I would say he is an if he chose to be, he would be an apocalypse level threat.
Hey Jeff, it's garbage day.
Oh.
Garbage day.
Huh?
No.
Jeff, people loved us eating those Oreos.
Oh, did they?
We got lots of comments about them.
Did I know I made lots of comments about eating them.
I think I responded to someone with, I think this is the worst decision we've ever made. Worse than starting the podcast in the first place.
I mean, easily. Because I don't know, though, because that decision led us to the decision to eat those Oreos. We had to go back in time far enough to nip this idea before it ever happens.
All right. I've got two sets of Christmas kind of treats, but we're going to spread this over the next two main episodes.
Okay.
We've got Sour Punch Santa Straws.
Oh, boy. Sucking on Santa.
Sucking on Santa outside the Taste of Freeway. cherry and green apple. We've got Trolley Sour Bright Abominable Snowmen.
Boo. I won't eat that out of protest, Jay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they killed Voodoo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about it in that respect. We've got Haribo Sweet and Sour Reindeer.
Hmm. Never tried those before.
You're a sugar-free man, right?
Usually, yeah. I mean, I can drink sugar. I just usually don't. Out of solidarity with my wife.
I bought the Red Bull Advent calendar.
Ooh.
Because I wanted there's a special edition one that will be on the next episode. Mm-hmm. But it also had sugar-free and regular Red Bull winter edition Fuji apple and ginger. So
cool.
You're welcome to a second one.
Thank you, sir.
Ow.
Oh my God. Damage to the host.
All right.
Well, I guess if it's for the show, I can eat those voodoo killing savages.
Here's a red and green. They smell terrible.
Oh, my. No. You know what? I don't know if I could do this, Jay. After the Oreo thing, I don't know if I could do this anymore.
I don't know why these smell so. I assume it's because one of the flavors is supposedly guava.
Oh, man. Why is that a flavor you're putting on a candy?
It's a good question. I don't have an answer for it.
That one smells a little better.
This is the one that I think is guava.
I guess. For the art.
All right. And then we got to get six reindeer. Sour lemon, sour strawberry, sour orange, sweet apple, sweet cherry, sweet blueberry.
Hmm.
Not often you see blueberry.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is odd.
Green.
Yeah, I cannot think of the last candy that was blueberry flavored.
It's always blue raspberry.
Yeah. Speaking of, have you been to Scooter's Coffee, Jay?
I have.
You get some of those elf items?
I did. I got the peppermint, like mocha or whatever.
The Mr. Narwhal is great.
Okay.
The swirly twirly cookie latte is good. The snowball fight cake bite things, those are great. But no, of course, I mean, you know my wife. We had to go to the elf menu.
Oh, as soon as I saw that elf menu, I'm like, I know who's been here.
And they even had a Mr. Narwhal coming up out of the ice.
Bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Now, speaking of, I don't know if anybody out there in the audience likes Hey Dudes, collects those kind of shoes. Two pairs of elf ones this year, and the white ones on the inside sole say, bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad.
Oh, man, I need a pair of those. All right, I don't know that we got every red color.
Well, yeah.
We'll
do the best we can.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to be that guy, but they're probably all going to taste similar.
All right.
I think I have all of them.
All right, then we'll grab a Sour Punch straw, one of each color. I know you already got yours, so let's start there.
All right.
I love a green apple Sour Punch straw.
Mm-hmm. Pretty solid.
I really like that cherry. I think normally the red is strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the Sour Punch stuff we've had lately has been pretty bad. This is actually really tasty.
Yeah. I guess the cherry's what makes it Santa.
Red and green.
Yeah. Not bad.
All right, let's get these voodoo killers out of the way.
Bastards.
I'm going to start with the guava one.
Oh, man.
It is cool that they're Yetis, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's awful.
Why?
Why guava?
Of all the flavors you could pick, especially for a Christmas candy.
All right, red and green is supposed to be... Oh, sorry, that was blue raspberry guava. This is supposed to be strawberry lime, and then we got mango passion fruit. That's probably why the other one's weird, too. Why passion fruit?
Mm.
Eh. I kind of like strawberry lime. That's not bad.
Not bad. Mm. I mean, it works better than the guava, but still, I don't know why passion fruit.
I think only if you could get a bag of the red and green ones, mm-hmm. buy that, but don't go out of your way.
Disappointing. Especially because, yeah, you're right, the Yeti shape is cool.
Voodoo killing bastards.
Exactly. Fuckers killed voodoo for this.
All right, let's...
Get on these deer.
Yeah, let's do the deer. Wait.
The orange one's got a strong orange flavor.
I was like, Haribo are always really good.
Mm. Where do you fall on the Haribo versus Albanese debate?
I like Haribo better.
Mm.
I know, like, Albanese, they've got kind of the more juicier center.
Mm.
But I really like a Haribo. I did sweet apple. That was pretty tasty. I'll do orange because that's what you just did.
I will say, too, for a gummy, the mold is nice. It's got a nice reindeer shape.
And they've got a couple different designs, which I think is neat. That I like that orange. Once again, I'm not a big orange, artificial orange fan, but I like that.
It's good and solid.
Let's save the blueberry for last.
Okay.
All right. Miscellaneous pink.
Okay.
So it's either sweet cherry or sour strawberry.
I think this one must be cherry. Not very strong flavor, though.
See, I think mine's sour strawberry because it's got kind of that soury taste to it.
Yeah, this one's got no sour.
Not even like sour, just like almost like a citrusy kind of, like a lemony taste or something.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely cherry. I can taste stronger now.
All right, sour lemon. Oh, that tastes real lemony.
That's definitely a lemon.
All right, I got an extra pink one here, I think, so.
Mm. Yeah, this one's strawberry. Tell that right off. It's different than the cherry.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure mine's different, too.
Mm.
All right, blue one last. Blueberry.
You better be good.
That's a nice surprise.
Yeah. Pretty pleasant flavor, actually. I was kind of worried because blueberries can tend to be kind of bitter. So I wasn't sure how sour they would make it.
No, I like that a lot.
Yeah. I'd eat a bowl of those.
You did it again, Haribo.
Yep. I would definitely prefer this to those voodoo killing bastards.
Those monsters.
They had like one out of three that was any good.
Yep. All right, let's do these Red Bulls and take us on to Christmas.
Here we go. Take a smell. I like that apple smell.
Ooh, that's a very strong apple.
Crisp.
Fuji apple and ginger.
Crisp apple. All right.
Bottoms up. Ooh, it's got like kind of the tingly ginger taste on the back.
Yeah.
a nice apple, like a nice forward apple.
That's solid.
I was unsure where I would kind of fall with this, because I think the last time they did an apple, I wasn't a big fan of it.
Mm-mm.
I think this one's fucking great.
No, I like this.
Oh, that's pretty tasty. A bottom is trolley.
Oh, for sure. Probably Sour Punch straws after that.
Yeah. Just because it's nothing special. It's red and green.
It's the same, yeah. Then, I don't know, Red Bull or the Haribo Reindeer?
I think I would say the Red Bull just edges it a little bit.
I was going to go with that as well.
Certainly for me, cherry is one of my favorite artificial flavors, and me not getting a cherry, potentially.
It wasn't that straw. Even if you did get one, I honestly don't know if you'd be able to tell much of a difference from the strawberry.
But, like, I think those were all really good. I don't have any issue with them. It's just, like, I don't know, have your colors be more obvious.
Yeah. I'm an apple guy, so I would say, yeah. You know, the reason those colors aren't as obvious, Jay. Can't have any Red 40.
Yep. Now that's a good point.
But no, I'd say the just because I like apple flavoring, the Red Bull edges it out for me.
Ooh, here.
Oh, a sour straw.
Sour straw, your Red Bull.
Ooh.
See, get some extra apple flavor.
Indubitably. Quite pleasant.
Me going to a bar and being, do you need a straw for that? For that winter edition Red Bull vodka? No, I brought my own.
It works.
I like that. That's actually pretty tasty.
Well, now Jay knows what he'll serve at his holiday mixer.
Well, if you want to get in touch with us, tell us your favorite Adam Scott role or your favorite Walton Goggins role or any of your thoughts on any of the things we sampled for Garbage Day, or your thoughts on the Michael Dougherty movie Krampus, or hell, Michael Dougherty's Trick or Treat. Get in touch with us for our Garbage Day segment, or for the holidays at gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We are all the places at Horror4Holidays. That's Horror, the number 4 holidays.
YouTube.com/Horror4Holidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us comments. Thumbs up the video. Do all those things that help us out. Leave us your reviews on all the podcatchers. Make sure you do a 5-star review so we look at it. And then if you want, put 0 stars if I could, so we know you're a real sicko who listens to the show.
Leave a 5-star review regardless. We're not going to read a bad review.
No, that's what I'm saying. If you want us to even look at it, it's got to be 5.
Yeah, we're not going to. Well, if you want to be riddled with criticism about how stupid and fat and bad we are at making a podcast, make sure it's a 5-star review. Otherwise, we'll have no clue that you left it.
Well, you know what, Jay? We may be fat and bad at making podcasts, but we're still doing it.
But what was it? May be fat and bad podcast, but what was the third thing?
Fat, I think.
Oh, yeah, they're that too.
Oh, anyway.
He said with sour straw in his mouth.
Yeah, anyway, these fat asses. Christmas Podcast Network, Jay.
All sorts of great stuff over there. One of my favorite Christmas podcasts started putting out kind of fresh material. Craig Kringle over at Weird Christmas had only been doing the holiday flash fiction show the last couple years, and has gotten back into more content this year. Just came out with a new episode last week. And yeah, go give Craig some love. I'm sure he'd love to see those numbers get boosted. It's a fantastic podcast. All sorts of great and interesting interviews, ranging from stuff talking about like early medieval Christmas traditions, all the way through like talking about weird Christmas songs or weird Christmas movies, or has interviews with both Linda Radish, who is a weird Christmas historian or a kind of a Krampus historian, and Al Ridenour, who's also a Krampus historian. So.
Cool.
Go check that out. That's one to shout out this week.
Yes. And as always, check out our buddy Jerry D over there.
Yep. Totally Rad Christmas. other than that, hey, listener, have a Merry Christmas. This comes out a couple days beforehand, so make sure you got that last minute present for your great aunt. And make sure you buy enough eggnog to make it through the dark days when there's no nog available.
Throw another nog on the fire.
Excellent. but otherwise, yeah, we'll see you next week with a stocking stuffer, and 2 weeks with another mainline episode, and more. We'll finish up the Christmas junk.
Finish it up for New Year's.
Yep. Yeah. You know, yeah, Christmas is like, Jeff, we're going to have like a Christmas party, and it's going to be like well into the new year. That's what we do. Christmas in some places, Christmas lasts until like February, so we're fine.
We'll just have a long, long Christmas party, Jay. You know, it could extend all the way to Fat Boy Summer.
Yeah, who knows? Certainly our guts are extending all the way to Fat Boy Summer. Anyway, thanks for listening. Well, Merry Christmas.
Silent night. Get out of here, Fatso.
Wow. It's throwing cats. Bye.